It's time to talk about the gifted
Could
again.
you like bring a little pep into today? It's a beautiful day. It's the first time the sun has been out in Massachusetts in over 3 weeks.
Actually, I'm gonna go on a walk later
You're going to
today.
regret that because I was like, oh my
Oh, it
God,
is
the
really
sun
cold
is
out. Is
out. And I was like,
that
come on, Lyra. And we like went out this morning and it was like freezing and I was in pain. And I was like, I hate New England. I hate living up north. I really want to live like in California or Florida, even though Florida is a shit show for people like us. But where is it now?
Well,
Find me a
I
place
mean,
that's great.
yeah, I
The
don't know. Maybe
moon.
we should just move
The
to.
moon. We're gonna move to the
The
moon.
moon is pretty cold. I don't think I want to move there.
And not if it's like Futurama and they've built a dome with the theme park in it so it can continue vlogging and it will be warm until I go outside.
Isn't that theme park like a corporate prison for like the mom workers, though?
Okay, but according to the Futurama universe, everything is a corporate prison for the mom
Well, that's true.
universe. There was literally a recent episode where she like developed Mamazon, which
Yep.
took over the literal universe, and she was gonna shut it down. And then she was like, "Nah, it's making me money."
Yeah, and then at the end, Professor Farnsworth is like, everything's exactly the same as it was before. It's just that now mom owns all of us, but it's actually exactly the same. I thought that was a really funny way to end that up, where they were like all worried about like stopping her from taking over the universe. And at the end, they're like, actually, it's fine.
I love that show so
That show's
much.
so
It's
good.
like so good.
You know what? We're not watching Futurama on this show. I'm Maddie, by the way.
Oh, I'm Ryan, and this is the Mutant Ages where we review every adaptation of the X-Men, and we are getting real funky with our material. We're on The Gifted, which is
Woo,
not
bow
my
wow,
favorite
chicka
show.
wow, funky town. We're getting funked up.
Back when we were young.
X-Men 97 will be dropping soon. And when that happens, we'll be
Yes.
back to.
We're gonna pause The Gifted or whatever we happen to be on at that point, and we're gonna watch X-Men 97.
And they've been doing some crazy marketing for it. Have you seen some of the toys that they're releasing? Madeline Pryor is
I
fucking
know.
there.
She looks
I am so
amazing.
excited. We're gonna be able to do a Madeline Pryor spotlight on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like they just did another promo that is showing
It
stuff
had
from the
magic in it.
Mojoverse or whatever the fuck it's called. Mondo, whatever.
Yeah.
It's the one that's gonna be set in a
It's the
video game.
like 16-bit video game version of the
And magic
Mojoverse.
is fucking there. And I was like, thank God.
Yeah, that's very exciting. Magic is a
Did you
queen.
see the image of Magneto over the world in the same way that M. Bison is in Street Fighter? Because I thought that was
Ryan
incredible.
sends a lot of images to the Slack
I did
that
not send a
are
thousand
all in
messages yesterday while I
different
was
places.
sitting
Like,
in
you're like, it's
Firestone.
in the Slack. And I'm like, I don't even know where to look
Okay,
for that.
honestly, yeah, yesterday I was like sleep deprived and I was sitting in the lobby at a Firestone getting my car fixed and inspected for Massachusetts. Something fun fact for our listeners, you have to get your car inspected in Massachusetts every year, which
Yeah,
is
every year.
insane. Most states don't do that, but Massachusetts likes money and taxing us on everything. And I'm sitting there and it's like one of
Taxachusetts.
Taxachusetts, love it. Don't, not really, JK. Anyway, so like that's one of those scenarios where I'm sitting in a lobby, which is so rare. It's like the same thing as like when I go to a hotel where it's like that's the only exposure I have to what daytime TV and TV in general is.
Classic network television. Right. Like when are we sitting around just watching television that's on in 2024? Basically never.
I haven't had network TV since 2008. That's yeah, how long. But
like anytime you're in a waiting room, basically, like for a doctor's appointment or if you're in a hotel or a waiting room at the car mechanic. Right.
So like everything that was on the TV, I'm messaging Todd and Maddie in our dev Slack. And she is like, Maddie,
Ryan
was like,
is
Ryan.
Sending like 97 messages per hour. And it's like a work day. And Ryan's like, so anyway, here's some thoughts on Wayne Brady hosting Let's Make a Deal. And it's not just like a couple thoughts. It's like a full live blog of the entire episode.
And also watch. Like Drew Barrymore
and then Drew Barrymore's talk show Frosted and then just Flakes a full commercial. Yeah, like also we get a live blog of every commercial Ryan watches. Like this is
eventually
just...
Maddie was like, I can't do this anymore, and now I'm sitting here be like, Maddie, just pull up in the Slack that image
and
I
now
sent.
You're like making me relive yesterday where you sent like 6,000 messages to the channel.
I was so
anyway bored. I found the image. I did actually see it. I just forgot about it because I don't know why. Maybe it was because 10 trillion other messages were in the Slack between then and now, and I just wasn't thinking about the Magneto image anymore, but
although
I did see it.
Although relevant to the Mutant Ages, there is like a weird Frosted Flakes commercial I saw during
How
that.
Is this relevant to the Mutant Ages?
Because it's gay.
Okay.
The end. I don't know.
It's gay and it's got a Tony the Tiger in it.
I like, I'm just screaming. I'm like, it's a rare situation where Tony the Tiger was a gay character.
He's always been gay. That is so relevant to the Mutant Ages. Tony the Tiger is a mutant.
Yeah, right.
I know. It's kind of like a Wolfsbane situation where he's like, his superpower is being a tiger.
Thank you, Tony the Tiger and Robin Hood, Disney's Robin Hood, for creating furries. Anyway, let's move on to the
Gifted. Let's talk about the Gifted.
No furries on this show, even though there are furry X-Men.
There are furry X-Men.
I don't know what's up with that.
I think they just decided to have much more minimalist examples of mutants. Like, they want to just do face paint and eye contacts, and that's about it. That's, like, as far as they're willing to go.
I hope you're ready for this episode that is... I don't know what the hell is going on here, but every single...
The most boring episode of all time?
Yes. But I want to point out that there are three different people in this episode who are getting, like, tortured or they're dying, and they're all black people.
They are.
I don't know why that was the choice or if it's supposed to be symbolic, but I was like,
I don't think it is. I actually
just
think...
It's like white people saving black people for the entire episode and or white people torturing black people
for the entire... Or like, killing them.
And it was just like...
Why?
I think the metaphor gets lost when it's the mutants doing these things.
Yeah, you know? Okay, I was going to say, I think that's just a coincidence and, like, bad writing.
I think
but
it is.
Here's why it
too.
Isn't, because this is also a show where the main characters are descended from Nazis. So, like, are we watching a show that is just secret white supremacist propaganda? Like, what the hell is this show? I'm not actually trying to say that's really what it is, but it is very, very ill thought out. You know, like,
yeah,
they
I
didn't
agree.
Think about the metaphor in a productive way, and that is really frustrating watching this show because it's such a political show, but not in a way that's like smart or really making any commentary that is like advancing the dialogue. It's just kind of like politics, jazz hands, you know?
Yeah, really, they start using a political term for mutant march that went wrong, and they keep on being like, remember 7/15?
Yeah, like July 15th was apparently the beginning of the end for all mutants. Like, is that when the X-Men disappeared? Like, what happened that day? We don't actually know.
I kind of wonder if that's what happened. I mean, who even knows?
I think so, because they're like, as of this episode, they're referring to that. That's the day that the main antagonist of the show, Jace Turner, who's a cop and Sentinel Services, like, higher up, his daughter died on this day of a peaceful protest. They don't give us a year, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Well, that's because we don't know. It's like,
we don't know what time period this fucking show takes place in.
Remember X-Men 2000?
Yep.
They didn't give us a time period then. They just said, in the near future. That's right. All they said. So this is later than that.
That's kind of what this is like, too, where it's like the near future of the Fox films, but an alternate universe of the Fox films.
I was going to say, how far away is it from Logan's future?
I don't know. I mean, and is it in the same world as that, though? Because it's kind of not.
Right. Is it in the same fractured timeline from Days of Future Past? Like, This is the problem with the Fox films, is they like just didn't.
You know, you brought up the Logan thing in like the pilot episode of the show, and I was like, that's crazy. But actually, I'm kind of starting to believe you now that I think about it more, because like,
yeah, I think it's connected
in Logan.
To that.
There's like the situation where Professor X like kills 300 people by accident or whatever the fuck happened with that movie. So like maybe that's also what happened on 7/15. Do you know what I'm saying? Like maybe that's also part of the story here, and it's supposed to be
laughing.
Like, oh, well, because.
Because I'm laughing
because
it's like fucking Xavier's like, oopsie, killed all my friends. You know, like when your subconscious goes evil.
Okay, Dreamer is literally Xavier on this show, by the way, in a way that is hilarious.
That's not even her powers.
It is on this show.
I don't know how she's doing that. They didn't know what else to do.
On this show, she has basically full Xavier powers, and she's like constantly walking around brainwashing people and then being like, why is everyone mad at me? I just was trying to help. And
I'm excited like, for Dreamer to die on this show because she
wait.
Is
she's
obnoxious.
Horrible. Here's the thing. I want... Okay, I'm just tired of every character at this point. And okay, I do still love Lorna, but
yeah,
the plot lines they're giving her, I don't like, you know? Like, I don't like what they're doing with Amy Acker or Emma Dumont on the show. So even though they're great actors, I don't like the show. And I'm, like, really struggling.
Well, they give all of the best lines and dialogue in the show to Lorna. So Emma Dumont's already fantastic on her own.
Easily.
I'm like, it's just a good combination with her playing this role and having the best dialogue of all the characters.
Totally agree.
So her scenes are always interesting, even if like the scene itself is like, what's going on? In this episode, I feel like she does have a valid point to what she's doing.
Absolutely, she has a valid point. I feel like if you kind of zoom out and you look at what the show is about, it's really stupid. They keep just walking in circles trying to escape the cops. Every episode is them walking in a circle and trying to escape the cops. That's
all they do. Is saying that they walk in circles, but there's literally a plot point in this episode where Reed has to
walks
walk
in
around
a fucking
in
circle.
Circles.
I was losing my mind in that scene. I'm already screaming, but literally the scene is Reed walking in a circle. That's the scene. And
looking
I'm like, this is so obviously a diversion and a trap, and the cops immediately fall for it for some reason. Like, they're not like, oh, why is Reed here? Why is Reed walking in a circle? That's kind of stupid. Why is this happening? They're just immediately like, lockdown, Reed is here, we need to fucking get him. It's like, the cops are stupid. Everyone is an idiot.
I know. And meanwhile, Sage is listening into it, being like, beep, boop, beep, 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 boop.
Yeah, Sage is like, wow, we tricked the cops using the power of walking in a circle. We won again, mutants.
Oh, my God. That show.
I miss X-Men so bad, like being good. I miss it so much watching this show.
I know.
Like, remember when we had plot lines? Remember when we would watch an episode and, like, a plot would happen on the episode and then we would talk about it?
This is, like, what, episode 5 or 6? And I was thinking yesterday, after I watched the episode, I was like, you know, Maddie had a point about us doing Mutant X on this show. I think that would be fun.
Here's the thing about that. So we're going to record a bonus episode after this about the early 2000s TV show Birds of Prey, which we just watched every episode of. There's 13 episodes.
Which was out around the same time as Mutant X. I think it was a couple years later, but still.
Spoiler alert, we fucking loved Birds of Prey. It's the greatest TV show ever. I can't wait to talk about it with you. It's going to be on the Patreon.
I mean, I already knew it was good, but like, we'll talk about that when we get there.
It's so good. And maybe part of why I feel like it's good is because we're watching The Gifted. And The Gifted just is a show where there's a bunch of characters with superpowers, but they just can't come up with any ideas on what to do. Like, they just can't come up with anything.
I know.
But Birds of Prey, every episode, they're like, okay, here's a mystery. Here's a problem that's caused by the characters with superpowers that they're going to have to solve. Like, that's all you have to do. Like, just have a plot. Like, have them do something.
Well, okay, I'm going to argue right now that perhaps the reason why Birds of Prey was as successful as it was is because it was directed and oftentimes written and produced by a woman.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, I think they, and I said
I'm
this
like,
last.
I just end it there. I'm like,
yeah,
that's
well,
my statement.
Because women are superior. I mean, sure, I'll go along with that. But also, like, I think the showrunner for The Gifted, I mean, it's Matt Nix. I've said it before. Unfortunately, I don't think he was the right fit.
Right. I mean, you like him.
I do. I like Burn Notice, but I just don't think that's the right fit for this show. I just don't. No. I don't think they should have hired somebody who does a procedural crime show. I don't think it's working at all. I feel like he doesn't know what to do with the superpowers.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll say one more thing, though. The characters aren't saying "look, comma" anymore. I think that was just that one episode where they said it like 6,000 times. Well,
that was whoever wrote that.
Yeah, whoever wrote that episode was really into the way that that worked. But in this episode, everybody's dialogue is totally different. Like, it's just, I don't know. Everyone is just back to talking in a different way.
So this
previously on The Gifted.
Previously on The Gifted on the X-Men. Well, the X-Men aren't even fucking here.
Yeah, so I know. Previously on the Morlocks.
Right.
You both said that at the same time.
We did. I mean, that's what this show is.
Yes.
What happened beginning of the show is that this white family,
the Struckers
that are descendants of the fucking Nazi Struckers.
That's right.
Found out their children who are, it's not even clear if they're twins or
two
not.
Two twins, a boy and a girl.
They developed powers and their father was a prosecutor for mutants. And so now all of them are on the run. And like, what has literally happened for five episodes is them going to the mutant underground while Caitlin keeps on leaving the mutant underground to be like, maybe other rich people will help us.
Yeah, Caitlin's the mom. She's a nurse.
While Reed keeps on getting captured over and over again. And now Reed is finally back. And
Except
Reed almost
immediately he's like, okay, here's a crazy thought. What if I get captured again? What do we think of that?
I know. Hold on. So Reed tried getting back to his family by selling out the mutant underground.
Yes.
Realized that what he was doing is wrong. Jumped out of the van that he was with before, because the bartender of the gay mutant bar from before is going to have a fight with him in this episode.
That's right.
The person he almost betrayed.
That's right. So that guy kind of knows Reed as somebody who was selling out the mutants to the Sentinel Services.
Yeah, exactly. And then Lorna in episode one had been captured, put into prison where she was tortured for four episodes. And in the last episode, her and Reed were put together where she
for
was
no
like,
reason.
You're a fucking piece of shit. I hate you. And then they were intervened by
the Mutant Underground.
Mutant Underground while they were being transported.
Who saved them and broke them out.
While they escaped, their mutant powers didn't work for a moment because John Proudstar's ex-boyfriend, Pulse, was there. And he's being mind controlled.
And he has the power to disable mutant powers, and also Sentinel Services
like,
has kidnapped him.
I think.
Yeah, and electronics because
he's basically
why
Leech.
Not?
Yeah, now kind we have multiple of. Leech characters. And anyway, so
except he's not Leech because he is an actual character from the comics who was on like one page in the 70s.
Leech was in the comics.
No,
what are
Pulse
you talking about?
Was in the comics, is what I'm saying.
They
could have just had him be Leech, which is a more well-known character, but instead they had him be a different, completely random guy.
Well, that's because they already used Leech in X-Men 3.
That's right.
I think you forgot.
And so they can't use him again.
Right. Anyway, so they have now recognized that the Sentinel Services are somehow brainwashing the mutants into working for them, which Lorna is going to be on a fucking bender about.
Right, which is a scary plot line and kind of like a fun concept for the show. I mean, that's maybe the only real plot line that the show even has at this point.
Right, so that's the final thing you need to know, besides the fact that Dreamer, who has the power to, like, I don't know, implant memories into people's heads, was trying to get Blink to use one of her teleportation things, and Blink was like, I can't do it. So Dreamer put a false memory in her head that she had been having sex with Johnny. And so now Blink is like, did this happen or not? I can't remember. And so that's going to come up immediately. Like when it does the previously on The Gifted, the very first thing it shows is like Blink on the ground having a sexy dream going, I was like,
that's the most important part of Blink's story in this show.
I messaged Maddie and I was like, the opening sequence of this episode is Blink having a sexy dream.
Because this is like the most important plot line according to the people writing the show. Like the stuff that I personally think is interesting is like when they're working against Sentinel Services and kind of being spies or like doing heists or whatever. But the show seems to think that's not interesting and instead is like, let's have multiple scenes of Blink masturbating or like being obsessed with John and she's not interested or like Andy the teenager having a tantrum.
All right,
you
but
know?
Like those things that you just described to me sounds like a CW show, which was their main competition at the
You're
time
right.
because the Arrowverse
You're right.
had started, which is crazy to think because the Arrowverse since this was on has exploded even beyond that and has had like I don't know, 10 9 trillion different spin-off shows.
Whereas this obviously failed in comparison.
Right. And at the time this came out, it was like mostly just Arrow and The Flash that was happening. I think maybe Supergirl had started.
Yeah, no, you're right. Arrow was everywhere. And even Supergirl was a big deal when it came out. I mean,
I kind of feel like you and I would probably enjoy Supergirl.
Oh, yeah, I liked it. Did you not watch it? I watched that show.
No, I didn't. It's fun. I didn't watch it.
But it's fun. I mean, it's not very deep. It's no Birds of Prey.
No, fine. Absolutely. But
it's not like a must watch. Like, sorry if people really love Supergirl. I thought it was fine. But I have very high standards for that kind of thing, you know, like I kind of needed to have a little more going on.
Yeah, but I also love the 1980s Supergirl yeah. movie, which is terrible, but I love the shit out of it anyway.
You probably enjoy Supergirl like in the background. It's just not that deep. It's kind of like the Arrowverse. Probably. It's like not a lot to it.
Well, the way I would describe any of those CBD shows, any of those CW shows, right? Oh my God, I don't know what that was. They're all soap operas that has action sequences in between them. And
which is this.
The scenes that happen don't make any sense. And I think The Gifted is trying to do that because, for what it's worth, as terrible as Arrow was to me, was a very successful show. I mean, it got like 9 seasons or something like that.
Yeah. No, I see where you're going with it.
You know?
And you know, since we have Birds of Prey on the brain, Birds of Prey was canceled after one season. Smallville was the show from that time that went on and on and on. And Smallville, that's a soap opera, baby.
Soap opera.
But these
CW shows, they're not designed for comic book fans. They're designed for like just the general 8:00 p.m. viewer throw it on and watch it. And so,
and I think this show is that way too, where this show isn't really like all these deep cuts. I think it's just because that's the X-Men they had access to, or Marvel Comics characters, I should say. They're not actually X-Men characters. Mostly they're random Morlocks.
Yeah.
And they don't care about catering to comic book fans at all. They're not recreating plot lines from the comics that I know of. All of this is totally invented, and it's a soap opera meets police procedural.
Okay. But like, when was there a point in time that the Fox films cared about the X-Men's plots and the comic book fans? Because I could argue like never. I think Hugh Jackman cared, and many of the actors that went in. Like,
pretty much Deadpool 1 and 2, I think, is my answer to that question. No, genuinely, though, like, that's the answer. That is the answer. Those are the movies that were like, let's do something for the fans.
Literally, though, Deadpool 3 is the first movie of all that entire universe that Ryan Reynolds was like, hey, can we put Wolverine in the Wolverine costume?
I can't. We can't. I don't know.
Yeah,
so
I do
know what you mean. But so instead we're watching this show that, again, I'm like, I'm not sure this is an X-Men show because it's not really, it just doesn't feel like it. There's no X-Men characters on it. It doesn't really feel like a team crime fighting show.
The only time that it does is when Polaris is there, but they don't give her enough scenes.
Right. And like, the more time goes on, the more she's going to be like, I'm pregnant. I can't do anything. Like, I can already see that like approaching.
There is like a later episode there's like some horrible dialogue. I don't know which episode it's in which like Polaris is like having a freak out and they're like, is this because you're pregnant or because you're bipolar?
Oh,
and she's like,
God.
It's not the bipolar again. I was like, hold on. You can't just like throw that around.
I mean, that also upsets me because I know later they're going to introduce that she has bipolar disorder, but I'm also upset because I'm like, this is the only character on the show who's been correct about anything politically. And they're going to later be like, also, she has a mental illness. It's not to say that mentally ill people like myself can't be right about politics. But like, I don't feel like this show is nailing it. And I feel like every time they're like, Polaris is saying an extreme leftist radical opinion, they're always having like scary music playing. And they're like, she's crazy. And I'm like, no, she's right. She's fucking right. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, when she's right. Like, we shouldn't fucking feel sorry for this Jace guy. Like, he's manipulating us. And then they're like playing scary music. Like, wow, she's heartless. And I'm like, no, she's right. Like, why are you acting like, oh, it's so scary. She's so extreme and crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. This show is, I don't know. So this is everything you need to know.
I mean, we'll see where it goes. I hope I'm wrong about that.
We are 25 minutes into this episode, so maybe we should start talking about it.
Yeah. Well, good news. Almost nothing fucking happens in this episode, so it's going to be really easy.
I almost wrote down 7-11 12 times whenever they said 7:15. I was like, 7-11?
All right, so
I gotta get me some 7-Eleven pizza.
Yeah, we gotta get some slushies so we can get our energy up. So there is an opening scene here that is a flashback to a scene we already knew about, but for some reason we need to see it play out, which is Jace Turner and his wife. Well, we don't, but we do get to hear a lot of screaming. I didn't like it. I didn't like watching this scene. I didn't like this need
scene
this.
Is like, I don't know what the hell having happened.
It's like 10 minutes long. Like, they always seem like they're killing time on this show. You know what I mean? Like, it always is like, why do we need to watch this for so long?
Well, they get to a point later where they need people to walk in circles. So, yeah. But this scene is like Jace and his wife with their kid.
This is like 4 years in the past, and they're hanging out in a park together, and their kid is like on the, I can't remember what this is called. It's like, it's not a merry-go-round because it's just on a regular playground, but it's like that metal thing
that
you just ride in circles and get insanely dizzy.
Do they make these anymore?
They still do, for sure.
I
can't ride these. I would immediately vomit, but Ryan probably loved them because he doesn't get motion sick the way I do.
I mean, I do like those things, but I will be the first to say that if I do a spinny ride at theme parks when I'm covering that on the vlog, I'm like, I always am like, okay, I need like an hour before I do another spin.
Yeah, it's like, the point of this ride, we can't even call it a ride. It's not like a slide or like the swings or something. It's just whirling in a circle. Speaking of walking in circles, that's what this is. So this little adorable actress that they cast, who's playing Jace's daughter, who's like, you know, 6 or 7, little innocent girl, is twirling, twirling, twirling. And then off in the distance, like kind of proximate to the park, there's a mutant peace rally. And Jace and his wife kind of overhear the protesters shouting and stuff and marching. And his wife is like, oh, what is that? And he's like, yeah, the sergeant asked me to work security on that, but I said I had to have a picnic with my girls. I hate it when men call their wife a girl along with their daughter, by the way, but that's fine. Continuing along. then suddenly the protest goes bad. Something happens. It's too far away. We don't see why, but we start seeing like fireballs erupting into the sky. Like a mutant is casting fireball.
Because they're like green fireballs.
A wizard is casting fireball into the air.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if this is what the NPCs are like in a D&D game. Just like, they just see shit happening in the background and they continue walking around in circles.
Yeah, that is, like, we are kind of seeing.
Oh my god! I just realized that Reed Strucker is an NPC. He just walks around in fucking circles.
Okay, you know what I thought you were going to say? Is that Jace Turner is an NPC from X-Men 97. Because these are all the human characters. Like, we talked about this before. Like, these are the human characters that run away from the camera at the beginning. So, all this to say, a fireball lands on this child's head and she dies instantly.
We don't even know if that's what happens.
Of course it is, Ryan. We don't need to watch that happen. They didn't have the money for that shit.
Okay, well, this is what we see happen. We see in the trees, like, stuff going off, and then we hear Jace go, come on, we need to go. And the girl's like, just 1 minute. And she's like,
yeah, which a child would never do. Like, a child would see the fireballs and would scream and run away.
I know.
But instead, she's smiling and she's like, I have to get my little bunny doll in slow motion.
I know. And it's like, the screen is gold, and all we see is like this lens flare.
Yeah.
It's like literally a lens flare. Yes. And then we hear Jace scream, and then it cuts to Jace on the ground.
Yeah, like he was knocked back by a shockwave.
Nobody else is there anymore. It's just him rolling on the grass with no other shot going, oh no, oh no, oh no.
The audio is his wife screaming also, like screaming, Grace, their daughter's name. And like, so we kind of can tell like, oh, she's holding the dead body off camera probably. I didn't need to see that. I was okay with not seeing that.
I was just like, I don't understand what happened. She was killed by a lens flare. It was like Michael Bay came in and he was like, whoop, and like, girl is dead.
This really read like they couldn't afford it to me. Like, that's really how this played to me, was that they had the lens flare effect and that was like literally all they could afford, you know?
I mean, even the lens flare that I used in Geno was better than
this. It reminded me of that.
We could do better than the gifted flares. I'm not saying that our shit is good because it is not, but if you're looking, if I can compare it and be like, the thing I created with no tools at all. Like,
yeah, with no money for fun.
I don't know. So I messaged Maddie when I was watching this because I watched it before her. And I was like, the first message I sent was like, I was like, oh, great. Opening sequence is Blink having a sexy dream again. And then the next message I said was like,
now a black child is going to die.
Black girl. And Maddie just goes, maybe I can watch the ep and just not take notes. I can't deal with this show anymore. And I was like, I'm quoting
you. I will say I took a lot fewer notes this time because this show doesn't really need it. Like, I've really realized I don't really need to take that many notes on it.
I'm taking notes, but like, this isn't
they're
like
very
the
minimal
shows
though,
where,
you know?
Right. Well, that's because we used to write down entire, we would transcribe entire screenplays because we liked the dialogue.
Well, because the dialogue was so good that we would be like, let me read this line and talk about it and really do a close read of every line. On this show, individual lines are so basic.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the plot advancing. I think this is part of what I've been talking about in terms of like not feeling like any character has a personality. It's like everyone talks in the same voice. They all just say exactly what look. Is the case, you know? I mean, even if they aren't saying look, comma, like they're all talking in the same way. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's like no one is a character on this show. It feels very flat.
I agree. So then we have our opening credits. And Jace is still trying to chase after where the mutants
were. Yeah, now we're in the present day, so we're after the convoy break-in, and Jason, his fellow cops, are trying to find the mutants.
Yeah, and he's like, we need to find the mutants, and we need to kill them.
Yep.
And then it continues on from when Caitlin and everybody is, like, rescued Reed and Lorna, so...
Yeah, and they arrive at the mutant underground. Or no, they don't yet. They arrive at a kind of drop point where they're going to switch cars.
Well, right, and I actually like this little quick moment where Reed turns to Marcos. He goes, you know, thank you for saving me, too. You didn't have to do that. And Marcos is like, oh, no problem, dude. And I was like... Okay, well, I kind of appreciate that Marcos is not aggressive
about
this.
Yeah, I liked
this.
That. I liked that, too.
But I also feel like he hasn't seen Reed since all that shit went down where Reed got captured. And since then, Marcos has been running around with Caitlin, and he's like, and Marcos has been like, honestly, I feel bad for this family.
Yeah, like, oh, that's a good point. Like, Marcos has really gotten to know Caitlin, and they're kind of friends now, which is sweet. Yeah, right. I insofar as there are any personalities on the show at all, I'm like,
well,
yeah.
Also, I think Marcos has been sitting there being like, well, you haven't been here, but like Caitlin has been being a nurse for our entire mm-hmm. facility while you've been in prison. Like that is like a whole thing that's been going on.
Right. And also like Marcos and Caitlin could relate. Both of their romantic partners were in prison and they were both like, right, we need right. to save our partners and get them back. So they had like a very similar arc to one another and could bond over it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I did like that little moment. Then John tells Marcos that his ex-boyfriend Pulse was working for Sentinel Services.
Mm-hmm. Lorna's also here, of course. And she's like, what right. the fuck? Why would that happen ever?
I know. And then they hear a drone, like a flying drone. It's the Sentinel Services drone. So Lorna and Marcos decide they're going to go distract it and destroy it. And everybody needs to go back to Mutant Underground.
Yeah. So the two cars are going to split up and Marcos and Lorna are going to try to draw the drone away so that it doesn't find the Mutant Underground and like follow them home.
With like, this scene is crazy. Like they're driving along and like
Marcos is one of the
is
things
like,
I DM'd
the fucking
you about.
Drone is like above me. I can't. Wait, hold on. Did you think this was the phone? That's not the phone.
What is it that they're using then?
Lorna
what is that?
Pulls off the rearview mirror. And
oh,
hands,
it is
and
a mirror.
Out.
I couldn't yeah. tell what the fuck it was. But also, why would this work? I mean, I guess that's how Marcos's powers work. So he like shines a light on the mirror and they like aim it at the drone in the sky because it's too far away for Lorna to control it. But also he couldn't just shoot it directly? So they use a mirror.
Well, it was right above them. I don't know.
Right.
I mean,
so they had to like use
out.
A mirror to like angle the shot properly.
Yeah. And then they start making out. I'm like, neither of them have been watching the road for at least 2 minutes straight. I do not know how they are not in an accident.
I know. Like they didn't crash when they were shooting the drone and now they're making out. And it's like, okay, could you guys have pulled over for all of this?
They just pass Emma Peel's Avengers who are just also in a car nearby because that's how those episodes end.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So then we quickly go back to Jace's van really, really fast. And yeah. they're like, the drone went down. But they're still like trying to triangulate the position of Marcos and Lorna's car.
I don't even know
because,
why.
I don't know. They can't just move on and let them escape. They have to chase them for this entire episode because that's what this is. It's running from the cops. Running from the cops. That's all we do.
In circles. Then the Mutant Underground is where they go. Shatter. Who I was like,
yeah, Shatter's here.
He has a speaking role.
He does.
Like, he has several lines in this.
Yep.
And everyone's like, our classic X-Men character, Shatter. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
He walks
where
up.
Where are any of the X-Men?
But okay, it's funny you say that because now suddenly there's like 63 mutants in the Mutant Underground who are all new there. And John is like, who the fuck are all these people? And Shatter's like, you need to talk to Sage. And
yeah, really, honestly,
Reed and Caitlin have a conversation about like what the Mutant Underground is.
I mean, you can't close over the fact that Reed, Caitlin, the kids finally reunite after all this bullshit.
They like, do that. Like they episodes. Do that. But just first, I just felt like it was worth explaining. Like Reed doesn't even really know what the Mutant Underground is. He's never been here before. His arc in this episode is going to be that he wants to start helping them because obviously he feels bad about devoting his entire life to like a mutant holocaust that he didn't know existed.
Yeah.
But he's kind of like looking around and absorbing this place, and then they see Andy and Lauren and like run up and they all hug each other.
Yeah, and in the meantime, John's talking to Sage, beep boop. I can't like that is her character on this show. It's pretty bad. Although in this episode she had more than one line, which was nice.
She does have more than one line, but she doesn't really use her powers and they don't really say what they are.
I mean, I don't really understand Sage on the show because it's not the Sage I know. It's like just some other character.
Yeah, it's just a woman who uses a computer and like not even in like a genius way, just in like a I'm using a computer way.
Exactly. And so she is talking about how the cops are raiding any potential mutant hideouts that they can find. So that's why everybody is there. Mm-hmm. And then the bartender that Reed almost fucked over a couple episodes walks over and he's like, what the fuck? It just starts beating the shit out of Reed. And everyone's like, what is going on? And John's like, what the fuck is happening? And like, this guy was coming in with a tracker and he was going to give away our position. And John's like, well, hold on, explain this. And Reed's like, yeah, I totally did do that because I totally fucked up. I was trying to get to my family and I almost sold out all of you to do that, but I decided not to do it. And I've atoned for that. So you should all trust me now is what he basically says. And everyone, and like this guy's like, why the fuck would we do that?
I thought this was really funny, honestly.
Because you personally atoned to it in your brain. This is like when Lorna was like yelling at him before. And he's like, listen, I realized what I was doing was bad. And I feel bad about it.
And she's like, I don't fucking care. You've already allowed hundreds of thousands of people to die. Like, am I really supposed to feel sorry for you at this point? It's kind of amazing. We have a brief detour from this where we have to listen to Jace's wife call him and talk to him.
I know, but first we have a commercial break, which is Gambit trying to sell you cat food because he, you know, Gambit has cats. He has a bunch of cats. It's an ongoing problem. Well, not a problem.
It's an ongoing problem.
Well, he's collecting cats to the point where Rogue's always like, Remy, stop with the cats. So he's trying to sell cat food and Rogue's like, why are you filming this cat food commercial? And he's like, Gambit just sharing some pussy share. That's it. Anyway.
Okay. So is the scene with Jace and his wife before or after the commercial break? It's not really that important.
And now all she wants to know is like, why aren't you home? And he's like, because I have to chase down these mutants and kill them. She's like, all right, we'll get the job done. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the scene.
Yeah. So then they go back to Reed. Reed and Fade. Fade is the name of the invisible guy, apparently. I looked this up. He's not from Marvel Comics. He's just a guy. I don't know. They couldn't.
No, I mean, this show, like, I don't know. They had so many characters they could choose from. Didn't put any of them on the show. Nope. Made up a bunch of characters. Chose the most random characters that they were going to put on the show from the comic books in here. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And also, this is another situation where, like, we're supposed to think this guy sucks, Fade, for beating up Reed. But I was like, I don't know. He's right to not trust him.
That's a cool name. By the way,
it is
I like
cool.
that. He, yeah. You know what's we don't talk about this, but Fade's costume, his whole look for this show is I work at an 80s gay bar.
Yeah.
Right? He's got like a handlebar mustache.
Well, he's like a gay trucker with like a huge handlebar. Yeah.
Right. And like I'm just like, this is like so stereotypical, which is fine. I don't have a problem with this, but like truly he is a gay bartender from like 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's the best way I could describe it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, since the costumes are pretty much the only thing we have to go on in terms of characters' personalities on this show, we may as well point it out.
Sometimes we don't even get that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Lauren and Andy are like, listen, our dad prosecuted mutants, but he didn't work for Sentinel Services. And the bartender's like, yeah, that's bullshit because he was literally with them trying to
but they don't
follow
know that.
Us back here.
Yeah.
And Reed's like, yeah, I definitely did do that. And Caitlin steps up front of him and she goes, what the fuck is
wrong with
you?
Yeah, I thought that was really funny that Reed was like, yeah, so that did happen. And then Caitlin is like whispering to him like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, I'm sorry, you did what now? And he's like, yeah, I kind of still didn't really think mutants were people for like a second. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll turn over the mutant underground to get my family back. And then I realized it was wrong.
Is crazy because Reed Strucker, the way that this actor plays him is not straight. I have a hard time buying that Reed Strucker is like in love with his wife and loves being like a straight dad. I feel like he is constantly being put in situations.
He's constantly trying to get away from them, you know?
And also constantly being like put into the beginning of porns. Like it happens again in this episode later where I was like when fucking Fade's like, I just need to test you to see which side you're on. I'm like, is he going to give him a blowjob? Like what is with Reed? Like, anyway, so.
I don't know. Also, like it is funny the extent to which Reed is like, oh, I'm finally back with my family. I got to get out of here. Like it's like seconds later. It's funny.
It's like on par with whenever fucking Dreamer walks over. She's like, hey, Johnny. He's like, I have to find Marcos right now.
Yeah, it is very funny.
I don't know. So there's a guy, that guy that got shot Harry. In the last episode. Was one of the many black people in this episode who is just going to be like dying
in the background. Yeah. So he's dying from like multiple gaping bullet wounds. And like,
yeah,
it's funny because at various points, Caitlin's like, oh, damn it. We have to take the bullets out. And it's like, you think? Like, what do you think is going to happen here?
I think she's saying that because she doesn't have the supplies to properly do that.
Right, she doesn't know how to do it. So she, at first, is just kind of like, let's compress the wounds and see what happens. But it's like, how long is that going to be able to go on?
I don't know. But I do like that subtly in the background, somebody is like, Caitlin, we need your help over here. And I was like,
and then she has to go over and help.
So the mutants trust her at this point, which is cool.
They do.
And I think it's Blink who says it. Blink's like, she's trying to stop the black guy whose gunshot wounds are just bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
And like Andy's like, I think we should leave. And Lauren's like, why? And Andy's like, they're staring at us. They don't trust us because of what Dad did. And now they're out to get us too. And Lauren's like, can you like stop for like 2 seconds? Like just shut the fuck up. I'm tired of hearing you talking.
Like Andy's entire personality is like, we should give up. Like every single second of every day, he's like, we should give up on this. I don't know.
You know,
get a bad
did
feeling.
You see that literally today?
Yes, I read that this morning. I love this analysis.
Yeah. One of our listeners, Drake, was in the Mutant Ages Discord, which you guys can all go and join if you go to themutantages.com. It's over there. There's a link on the right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And what Drake wrote was, I rewatched the first episode of The Gifted and noticed a few things. Lauren describes her powers pushing air together, which is contrasting Andy's powers to tearing things apart. The characters' powers mirror their other behaviors. Andy tends to tell characters to give up, encouraging isolation, and it's usually Lauren who brings characters back together to work towards a common goal. So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing to notice, considering I don't think the show is very deep. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that this is wrong either. I think that may be what they were going for, because they were like, well, like, you know, most simplistic version of like personality writing for a character.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? But unfortunately, they never go beyond that. Like, it's really disappointing to me.
Well, I mean, we still have time for him to join the Hellfire Club.
I can't
Spoilers!
Wait. Can't wait. Can't wait.
If you had to guess of the characters who are in the Mutant Underground right now, which 3 characters would you think are going to the Hellfire Club when that starts?
I mean, I feel like I already know the answer because the image that is like the main screen image for The Gifted every time has all the characters divided up on 2 sides. And it's like a super random division where it's like Marcos is on one side and Lorna's on the other. So I just assume Lorna goes to the Hellfire Club because they have to split them up for some fucking reason.
Right.
So like, I think it already kind of spoils the show by having this image.
Well, but there is a third character that's not in that image that is kind of obvious when you think about it. That would go to the Hellfire Club.
Pulse?
Considering their backstory. No. Like, think about a reverse of this character going to the Hellfire Club. Instead of coming from the Hellfire Club, is going to it instead.
Sage?
Yes.
Okay, sure. Well, then that actually kind of makes sense. Oh, okay. Oh my god. All right.
I hate this show. Anyway, so I'm just spoiling this show.
No, it's fine. So here's something interesting, just kind of logistically about this scene. So Harry is on the table for the entire episode and eventually they save his life. He is awake.
When did you get his name? Like, I don't remember them saying
it. Oh, they say it at various points. And I remembered it from last episode. I'm good at remembering dumb shit like that. So Harry never has a line in this entire episode. Did you notice that?
You're right. He doesn't.
Like, he's awake the whole time, but he never speaks. And also, the mutants who are watching them and suspicious never have a line. ever.
Well, that's ongoing. But also, I just realized that Harry and Fade have the same fucking power.
Yeah, they do. They're both characters who can turn invisible. They have two of those.
I don't even know why.
And
they
one of
two.
Them is invented for the show, and the other one isn't. So why didn't they just have Harry be that character? You're right. I didn't even think about that. Anyway, I was trying to make a point
Wait. Harry's from the comic books?
Yeah, Harry Trader. He's a Morlock from the Chicago Morlocks. We talked about this last episode.
You did say this. All right.
It's not worth remembering, but my brain stored that information.
Are they in Chicago? Wait, what city are they in?
They're in Georgia. Remember, we did know that. They're in Atlanta and Decatur that area.
All right.
So they aren't even in Chicago. So why are the Chicago Morlocks on this show? I don't know. They are, though.
Wait, they're in Georgia? Every landscape they're in does not look like Georgia at all.
Well, because they obviously didn't film there. They probably filmed in Canada or something.
Why did they say they were literally anywhere else? I this show, man, I can't.
Oh, I mean, why did they pick Georgia? It's really random.
I don't know, but are you excited for them to use that warehouse setting?
I can't wait. But so before we move on, I just wanted to note that actors get paid less when they don't have a speaking line. And any of our listeners who don't know that, you're going to notice it now. Like when you see background actors and like a main character says something to them like, oh, go grab that book over there. And they go get it and don't say anything, when normally in real life you'd be like, okay, like you'd say the word okay. You're gonna notice that now on TV all the time, now that I pointed it out. And the reason why it's like that is because you get paid less when you don't have a speaking line. Anyways, I just thought that was stupid. Moving on to see. So Shatter goes over to talk to Dreamer and Blink, who are just in a random chemistry set room where they're like moving around bottles of liquid. I don't know what this room is, but that's what they are doing.
I don't know.
Bottles of liquid that have food coloring in them. They're just like,
it is literally that. And I
don't know
like
what this
because Shatter
is.
Comes in, he's like, yo, Dreamer, I think you need to make fucking Reed leave and erase his memories. And Dreamer goes, well, only if Johnny says it's okay. And he's like, no, you have to do it even if he says it's not okay. This is not what's going to happen, by the way.
No, it's not. It's just Shatter being like, this guy fucking sucks and we should erase his brain and kick him out.
And then Blake's like, so how do your powers work exactly? And Dreamer's like, I don't know, G2G, bye. And like leaves.
And leaves like really suspiciously.
And then Blake looks away, and then suddenly she has the sexy dream again.
She has the memory, just in case we didn't get it. Just like, in case like, we didn't get it.
Just lots of, I'm like, this show.
I mean,
this
poor Blink. Blink is like, I don't want this to keep happening to me.
To this as a character, and I like don't understand
she's
why it's
being
still
punished.
Going on.
She is being punished for no reason. I did like that at least she gets mad at the end, where she's like,
no,
why
I
the
agree.
Fuck is this my life now? Like, I was on her side. And she was like, every time I turn around, I have a sexy memory of John, and like, I can't get anything done anymore.
She's like, it happens at 10-minute intervals. What is this? Like, anyway. Oh, Reed, God. The bartender, Fade, and John are still arguing.
Yes.
And Sage is like, listen, something weird's happening on the scanner. And so John goes over and Sage is like, all the scanners are going dead. I don't really understand what's going on. And the information that we're coming through is really weird.
Yeah. And she's like, so are the police just not looking for Lorna and Marcos anymore? Because they're not talking about it. And then Reed just walks in. He's like, no, they're using a code now. And like, they're still looking. And like,
first they hear them say that they're sending in like all these forces for petty theft on the radio. And they're like, why would they do that for petty theft?
Yeah.
And then Reed's like, because they're talking in code and they're working a grid. And this is actually kind of cool how he was like, he pulled out a map. He's like, here's where all the calls are coming from. You could see that they're trying to hone in on where the mutant underground is. And they were like, well, shit, what do I do?
Yeah.
Before we do that, Lorna and Marcos have to talk about their baby.
They do. This made you really upset because
I didn't think that she was going to give birth to like North Star's twin sister, Aurora. I was just like, can we not use the name of a character that is like a major character in the comic books? And just
I am willing to promise you that the person who wrote this episode didn't know Aurora was the name of any other Marvel Comics character, because
right, Marcos is like, if it's a boy, we'll call it Rory.
Yes. Like short for Aurora Borealis. So like they hold hands and they make Aurora Borealis together. It's all very romantic after they have a little convo about how excited they are to have a kid together. And then Lorna's like, we should call her Aurora, like after Aurora Borealis.
It would have been interesting though if North Star and Aurora had been on this show, because similar to the Struckers, they do have a thing that when they hold hands, they have a separate superpower.
That is cool. I mean, that is what those two characters could have been, like instead of the Strucker twins.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine that? That would be nice. Why didn't they do that? I don't know. We're watching a stupid TV show.
Was it still work too? I mean, maybe because they didn't want to have a gay lead because North Star is gay, but they would have been reversed, though.
But Andy's already gay.
That's true. That is true.
Also, couldn't they have just never referred to it? I mean, that would be horrible. But
well, okay,
like,
so it would have worked, too, though, because Aurora would have been the one that would have gone off and had the villain arc because she's, like, crazy.
Right.
And then, like, Northstar would have been sassier than Lauren.
Why?
It's just that they didn't do it because they wouldn't be able to have, like, the whole family situation that they wanted to include.
But they still could have had that happen. So their parents in the comics are just dead and we never know what happened to them.
That's
but,
true.
Like, they could have changed that and just been, like, they have living parents, whatever. We're writing a new story.
I don't know. Who knows? I would love to see Northstar.
Instead, they were like, no, we're going to go Strucker twins, the other famous twins from Marvel Comics.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of twins in Marvel Comics.
There are.
Anyway, meanwhile, Jace is mad.
Yeah, he just goes, all I wrote for this scene was Jace saying, I want bodies and I want them now. Like, he's just yelling at his fellow cops that he wants to kill mutants.
Like, listening to, let the bodies hit the floor. Anyway, yeah. So Lorna and Marcos are coming, they're driving and they see Sentinel Services. And mm-hmm. Marcos is like, oh shit, we need to turn around before they see us. And I'm like, they see you right now, dude.
It's pointless. And also, what you don't realize is they're going to keep following you forever until you stop them. So,
they may not actually know it's them yet because they have this like burner car that they have here. Like, they just have spare cars.
But they've been following them already because of the drone and everything. Remember?
Oh, that's right. You're right. Okay. And so she's like, no, keep going, and takes control of the car. Marcus is like, what the fuck are you doing? And she gets all the way up there and he's like screaming, stop, stop. So she hits the brakes with her brain.
Mm-hmm. And then gets out of the car, takes away everyone's guns.
Jace is like, everybody get out. And Lorna gets out and Lorna just takes every dude with her powers and just flings them all away. Which
is
great.
Amazing. It's like, why did they think this would work? There's metal everywhere. Like, idiots.
I love that, like, she takes Jace's gun away and Jace just, like, sighs and rolls his eyes. And it's like, what do you think was going to happen? I don't know, but Lorna's fucking awesome here. And then she's like, he's coming with us. And there's a commercial break. I didn't really write anything out down here. I was trying to come up with something and then I got distracted. they go to this warehouse, which is the same set that we've seen.
Back at the warehouse.
At this point, I'm like, I think it is all the same place. I don't think it's, like, a separate set.
Well, I think
set,
you're right.
To be somewhere
in
else,
the sense
because
that
there's just, like,
later, Blink's in there. And she knows where it is. And I was like, how did Blink know where this random ass warehouse was?
Right. I think it's just like, this has all been happening in like a 5-block radius, yet they cannot find the mutant underground.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, anytime you approach it, the dark elf makes you too scared and you drive away. Like, they do have protection.
I forgot about that.
So that's why no one can find it.
This dark elf that's just constantly rolling.
Yeah, constantly casting fear and just constantly making everyone scared.
Oh my God. So they're in there and I love that Lorna throws Jace against the wall and then rips like the metal wiring out of the wall and ties it around his neck. And she does
all
have
with
a great
her powers.
Line here.
Yeah.
And Marcos is like, what the fuck are you doing? And, and she's just like, well, he likes putting collars on people so much. So I thought I'd give him one of his own. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, I
love
it. Yeah.
And this is when Lorna starts interrogating Jace about what happened to Pulse.
So Jace refuses to say anything and he's like, I'm not going to tell you shit. And Marcos is also really getting freaked out because he's like, oh, we shouldn't have kidnapped this guy. They're going to be looking for him. And Lorna's like, if they can get Pulse, they can get anyone. They were going to get me. Think about that. We have to do this.
That would be terrifying.
If they had
brainwashed somebody like her. It's like brainwashing Magneto to fucking, like, one of the most powerful. Imagine if you brainwashed like Magneto or Storm to like do the human's bidding.
I mean, people have done it and it's bad every time. Like, it's not good. Like, everyone dies when that happens.
Yeah, right.
So then we go back to Caitlin operating on Harry and he's lost too much blood and they're out of IV bags and he needs a blood transfusion. So this is nice. This is like the first nice thing Andy's ever done in his life. He is a universal donor, apparently. So he offers to give blood. And this is kind of like the mutants from the background are watching them and being like, oh, maybe this family's not evil. Which, fine.
I love this. And also, Caitlin has a moment at first where she's like, Andy, no. And I'm like, what do you mean, Andy,
no? Yeah, what? Why did she even say no? I was so silly. But then she's like, never mind, let's do this. Like, obviously.
That's like, I was like, I don't know why we wasted time. We could have just used that time to, like, show them doing this. We don't need to have lines here.
Yeah, at least they didn't waste too much time on it, but it was kind of silly that, like, they even briefly considered anything other than this, which is clearly the only option.
Right, and this next scene is the one that you were talking about, where Reed makes that suggestion about being like, what if I just go wander in circles outside?
Yeah, so Reed goes, the police are still looking for fugitives, and the only thing that's going to stop them is if they find one. And John is like, what are you saying? And Reed's like, I have to go out there. If they see me, I can lead them off the trail. And it's like, what?
I mean,
it works. Like, he's like, I need to go out there in like a different location so that they don't find the mutant underground and just walk around in a circle outside and set off all the cameras and like get all the cops to find me. And then I'll get out right at the last second.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Crazy. I know.
Sure.
So
then we go back to the Jace interrogation scene.
Oh, yeah.
And Jace makes fun of them for using the word genocide to refer to what's happening to mutants, even though that's literally exactly what's happening.
I don't know why he says that. And he's also like, also Pulse wanted to come work for us.
Yeah, he's trying to say Pulse did it of his own accord, which is, of course, a lie.
And Lorna's like, yeah.
No one believes you.
That's like, why would he do that?
Yeah. And then Jace is like, what about July 15th? And Marcos is like, that was the actions of a few people, and a lot of people died on both sides. And Jace is like, yeah, and nobody had to die. And he's also like, I'm not going to sit here and apologize for trying to stop violence. And Marcos is like, with more violence?
I wonder if they ever talk about what happened. Like, does it? I don't remember.
They might. I don't know.
I mean, I'm assuming what happened is that there was a peaceful rally and some humans came and shot at them. That is probably what happened, right?
I mean, in real life, that's what happens. But this show might write a different story that is less realistic. I honestly don't even know what to predict, because this show's politics are all over the fucking place.
Right. And, well, you're right. And then Jace is like, listen, my daughter died that day and she didn't deserve that. And like, she didn't even know what a mutant even was yet.
Yep.
Which is kind of weird to say that.
Yeah, because he also says she was 7 years old. And it's like, you didn't tell her what a mutant was by that point? Okay.
But people don't
tell their 7-year olds about
literally
gay people either.
Also your job. Anyway, yeah. So Marcos is like starting to hesitate, and Lorna's like, hold on, let me talk. And you think that Lorna's going to be like, you know what, he's right. No, she's like,
no,
I feel for him. I really do. But you have to remember how many people have died since 7/15. So, you know, if he's not going to give us the information, we just need to fucking take it for him. Like, you know, this is not going to.
Which at first we think she's going to torture him, but she doesn't. ..
No.
We'll get to that.
But we're going
to
find out. First, we're going to have a commercial break. It's Logan's limo service from the award-winning film Logan.
Great.
And he doesn't want people to know it's him, but he's listed it as Wolverine's limo service. And so it's like, at the end of the commercial, it's him turning to the camera and being like, how did they know it was me, bub? Like...
Wolverine's limo service. How did they know it was me, bub? Wolverineslimoservice.com.
Like, he's got, like, an app. Like Uber, that's like Wolverine's
limo
service.
Like Jubilee has to run for him because he has no idea.
Anyway, so the reveal is Marcos is going to call Dreamer, and
yes,
he's like, "I need you to come get this information out of the Sentinel Service agent." Which at that point, I was like,
"I didn't think this was
like,
how her powers worked."
Yeah, I was like, "That's not her power." Like,
I thought all she could do was implant memories that would fade away.
Yeah.
But now suddenly she's like a psychic who can read people's minds too.
Who knows? Maybe she can see it in the smoke. I don't know.
I don't know either. But Blink blinks him in because she can just teleport fucking anywhere now.
That's later though, because first John is still arguing with Fade and Reed, and he's like, listen, I need you to take Reed out there, let him wander in circles, and then you just pick him up. And Fade's like, I'm not gonna fucking do that. And John's like, well, I'm telling you that you have to do it because I'm your boss. And Fade's like, fine, I guess I will do it. I'm definitely not gonna fuck up this plan on purpose. I was kind of still on
Fade's side for being like, this plan is stupid and I hate this guy. And I was like, well, that's fair.
Reed walks over to Caitlin and he sees, he's just like, so anyway, I'm
so
going to
leave.
Caitlin's
again?
Like, why? And Reed's like, these people need to know what side I'm on. And Caitlin's like, I don't know how this is going to show that to them at all.
This is so ridiculous too, because like John could have done this. Like, why did it have to be Reed? Like,
well, no, it did. The reason it had to be Reed is because the cops were searching for.
Well, because they had an APB out on Reed's face specifically, I guess.
Like him and Lorna. Like,
right.
They are trying to follow him back to the mutant underground. And since Lorna hasn't come back yet.
But they know who John is. So, like, I kind of get the logic of that, where it's like, okay, all the cameras are going to immediately recognize Reed.
I don't think they have enough information on John, though. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
I guess
I think he is not somebody that they are searching for in and out like they are with Lorna and Reed. So I think that's the reason why he went
out. So like Reed has to be the one to walk in a circle in a completely different part of town to mislead them and then be whisked away by the invisible man Fade to safety. Yeah.
So
that's the plan.
Anyway, so
Andy is still giving blood to Harry. We have a quick little moment of that.
Right. Well, because Caitlin, this guy starts screaming again.
And yeah, he's
like,
going to shock
basically.
We need
to remove the bullet basically, but we're not going to deal with it yet because now we're going to go back to the scene with Jace and Lorna. And Jace is like, if you don't let me go, bad things are going to happen to you. And Lorna is like, you
Whatever,
can give
dude.
Us the info about the fucking detention centers, the secret ones you were trying to take me off to and what happened to Pulse. And if you don't give us that information, we'll get it from you either way. And again, I do like this line where Jace is like, what, you going to torture me? And Lorna's like, nope, that's more of your department, remember? And it was like, I fucking love Lorna.
Yeah, it's kind of too bad, though, because Dreamer does end up torturing him
by accident
because she's so bad at everything.
I know.
She's so fucking bad at using her powers.
Because Blink and Dreamer are now blinking in.
Yeah.
And Marcus is like, why didn't you use the front door? And she's like, have you seen all the Sentinel Services just standing out there? Like, what are you even fucking...
Yeah, so suddenly cops have completely surrounded this building. And are like...
I love the way she says it. She says it in such a Dari way. She's bro, did you look outside, dude?
I love Blink's little tiny personality that we barely get to see on this show. But every time she gets to have one, I love it so much. Where she's just like... hello, there's cops with a bullhorn outside ordering you to come out. We weren't gonna just walk in. So I guess that's the explanation, is that they like pulled up in a car outside the warehouse somewhere and then blinked in from there, and that's how she did it. I don't know.
I don't know. So
who cares?
The Bart's fucking Fade is having another conversation with Reed in the car.
This is right before Reed gets out to walk in a circle. This is like them strategizing in the car.
Reed's going over the plan. He's like, you're gonna pick me up. He's gonna pick him up on Elm Street, which I was like,
that's right,
is fucking Freddy gonna be there?
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Somebody was like, I really like these films. Anyway, I was like, I don't think this guy's gonna come back for him.
No, of course
not.
And
I was partially right. So anyway, so this is when Reed starts walking underneath the cameras everywhere and like stopping. He's like walking along, stopping under
every security camera in the city. He like stops and stares at every security camera and lets it like fully scan his face, and he's like,
He's also walking around in his, like, fucking, like, convict clothes.
Prison garb.
Yeah, I know.
But because he has to look as suspicious as possible. But I, watching this, I was like, this is the most suspicious trap-like thing ever. Like, how would the cops not look at this and be like, oh, he's trying to get us off the trail? Because he's literally, he's all alone. He's not with anyone. He's walking down the street.
Every single person in this show, except for Lorna, is stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I actually think Amy Acker is pretty smart, too, but she's often put in stupid situations,
thinking the same thing. John and Sage hear the info on the radio scanner, and they're like, okay, they're on to him.
Yeah.
And so they're like, they text Reed's burner and like, get the fuck out of there. And he's like, oh shit. And then he like limps away.
Yeah, he limps over to Elm Street to meet up with the invisible guy, but we'll get to that later.
Oh, yeah. And then in the background, Caitlin's having like a separate issue where she's cutting Harry open and trying to remove the bullet, but there's blood just spraying everywhere.
Yeah, so she removes it, but then like there's like an artery that gets hit in the process and there's blood everywhere. And she's like, I can't stop the blood, not without a cross clamp. And Lauren's like, show me where the artery is. And she like is a little badass and uses her powers to like close the artery while Caitlin sews him up and like probably sews up the artery too. I don't know. They don't bother showing all of that.
I mean, I don't really understand. There was a commercial break in there somewhere and it was like, they dramatically were like, what's going to happen to him? And then they come back.
And then he's fine.
Yeah.
And still doesn't have any lines.
I know. And then meanwhile, Reed's at the intersection at Elm Street and Freddy's not there. So he starts running away.
He does.
The
he
cops
starts
are chasing
out.
Him.
Now the cops are chasing him and he's sprinting on foot, but he has a limp, by the way, because Lorna took the screw out of his leg. So he's been limping everywhere.
And also like it was ripped out of his leg. It's like it went through muscle.
Yeah.
And
so like I've been thinking about that and I'm like, his leg is going to get super fucked up over time. Because if there was like a screw holding the bones together, like, that's not good to just take that shit out. Like,
know,
what is
going
to happen to him?
Yeah, and so
I don't know if they're going to like fix that later, but that's kind of bad. So this part is actually really fucking funny. So like Reed is running away because he's like, okay, so Fade abandoned me, I'm fucked. And he literally slams into an invisible car that clearly Fade pulled up on purpose in front of Reed to run into it, which I thought was extremely funny and like valid. So then the car goes visible and Reed jumps in and is like, what the fuck was that? And Fade is like, just making sure whose side you're really on, big boy. And then they drive away.
I know, right? I thought this was okay too. They start driving off and I was like, Fade's like, you need to show me what side you're on. And he like unzips his pants. He's like, now get to work. You know, like that kind of situation.
I think this scene was very fun though. I liked that Fade is like kind of toying with Reed and is like, if you want to be a real crime fighter, you're going to need to fucking stop being a cop and like change everything about your brain and everything you think.
Yeah.
So then we get back to Marcus and Lorna, but we get to see the cops outside. There's a couple of just random no-name cops. I think one of them was in a previous episode, but who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And they're just like, prepare for a breach. How do we get inside? There's mutants in there. And like, they're kind of strategizing outside.
And I do like that Blink and Marcus are talking to Marcus. It's like, hey, can you just like
teleport us out of here?
Like, Blink everybody out of here. And she goes, maybe. And he goes, maybe. And she goes, dude, tearing holes through time and space is a lot more taxing than firing lasers out of your fingers. And
I was like, I thought that was really funny. I love her. Every time they give her a snarky line like this, I'm like, yes, personality, please give me more jokes. Like, I need this.
And then she falls down and she starts having a sexy dream moment. She's like, sorry. Yes,
she doesn't have any lines in the rest of this
scene.
Every
10 minutes, I have to have an orgasm. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dreamer is going over and doing her thing on Jace.
Yes.
And Blink's staring at her and being like, this bitch fucked with me.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
She's like, put it together at this point.
Yes, yes. I liked this for Blink too, that she's like a smart person and she like is watching everything quietly and is like, oh, fuck these people. But we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Lorna's like taking a bunch of pipes and like throwing them out the window with her powers.
Yeah, because Marcos is like, the cops are going to come inside. And Lorna's like, I'll buy us some more time, which she says in this very like fed up voice that I thought was hilarious, where she's like, fine, honey, I'm
I'll do all the work.
Yeah.
And
I adore
her. And Dreamer's like going through Jace's memories. We're seeing all these clips.
Yeah, like Xavier style, like fully going through his entire shit. Like, his whole life story, which why does she need to see so much? I don't know. Anyway, she's going through everything and she's like, wow, there's a lot in here. Probably because he's like a 45-year-old man and there's a lot of memories to go through. IDK, haha. And she's like taking forever. And the cops,
they don't even know what she doesn't even know what she's looking for.
She doesn't know what she's looking for. This is a terrible plan and obviously it's not going to work. So the cops toss a bunch of tear gas inside, which breaks everything up because like Dreamer can't continue. Jace can't continue anything. Like everyone's coughing and dying.
Yeah, Lorna pulls Dreamer away while the smoke's around him. And Dreamer's actually screaming.
Dreamer's like, wait, I can't leave him like this. So now we know, like, great, Jace has brain damage now from whatever the fuck Dreamer just did. Like, literally, he has brain damage, which we will get to. But, like, that is what happens in this scene.
I know.
It kind of reminded me of the very first episode of X-Men Evolution where Xavier, like, cast the huge, like, mind wipe on the entire stadium of people to protect Cyclops' identity. And then the bad guy on that show, like, the Senator Kelly proxy character,
Principal Kelly
is mind wiped by Xavier but not fully. Do you remember that plot line? And then that's why he hates mutants, except that show's a better show.
wait, he wasn't there yet. He came in season two, because season one Mystique was the principal.
You're right. Who's the character who gets not fully mind wiped by Xavier in that first episode? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No, you're correct that it is Principal Kelly. But that's like, I think that's the beginning of season two. But you're right, that's the beginning of a season.
Well, I mean, I mean, it's definitely like a cool plot line to kind of like have the mutant character with mind wipe abilities, like not fully erase someone's brain or like do the wrong thing. And then that causes a problem later. Like, that's clearly what they're going for here.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. At this point, I'm like, well, I've seen that story before. So what are they going to do differently? Anything? I don't know. Anyway,
Who knows?
Go back to the mutant underground. Reed is debriefing with everybody about what happened.
Yeah. Dreamer's like going over like these sketches because she can draw really well.
Yeah. Luckily, because she needs to show them what she saw in Jace's head. So she's made all these really detailed drawings of like the building where this procedure took place on Pulse and also like a logo that she saw there. And she's like, that's all I have. And Reed is like, I don't know what that is. And John is like, I do. That was on her friend's arm. It was a tattoo or a brand. And Reed looks at the building. Yeah, and he's like, that's the federal building in Baton Rouge. Some people I've prosecuted were transferred there. And John goes, what happened to them? And Reed just goes, I don't know. They disappeared. And it's like, wow, you really didn't think you were doing a bad thing? You were like, yeah, so I prosecuted some people and then they completely disappeared from all public records. But I continued doing it. Reed is such a crazy character on this show.
I know.
It's like, so hard to feel sorry for him. Like, I get that he's having a redemption arc, but like, I kind of despise him.
Well, I thought it was a really weird scene to go from that line to then him having a family dinner.
Yeah.
In the Mutant Underground. They've set up a table. They're like cutting their food apart. They have like a little candle out and they're like, we're finally having a family dinner again. Yep. And Caitlin's like, this food is so bad. And I'm like, I really hope nobody is in earshot of them. Cause
they're so fucking spoiled.
I was like, if I was one of these mutants that was like living there, I'd be like, get this fucking family out of here.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Rich ass family that is like being mean about our very, very small rations that we have.
I know. And so like, then Andy's like, are we going to go to Mexico? And Caitlin's like, well, it's still unsafe to travel. And Reed's like, honestly, I kind of want to help the Mutant Underground. And Caitlin's obviously doing that also. And so, and Reed's like, listen, you guys like all saved people's lives and they could really use our help. And like Reed and Caitlin have just decided that they're just going to live here.
Yeah, which you know, like, I don't know how the mutants feel about this, by the way. Like, it's not really totally clear.
No, they all accepted them because they watched them do that one surgery, remember? Yeah, I guess Reed would have walked around in three circles. They're like, wow, he's such a good guy. We got to keep him.
It's funny, though, because Reed still keeps saying throwaway comments about like his previous life where he's like, oh, yeah, I did let all those people die. And everybody's like, fucking hell, like this like, fucking
stop
guy.
Talking. And Fitz is like, listen, he gets really amazing head, so you know, I'll keep around for that.
And Reed is like, for no reason, I need to stay at the Mutant Underground. I can't get into why, but I do. I'm just really interested in staying here now. Oh my god.
Anyway, then this scene finally happens where Blink approaches Dreamer and she's like, bitch, do you fuck with my head? And Dreamer's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Blink's like, because every 10 minutes I have a memory of fucking John and that never happened. And she's like, yeah, I did that because I couldn't get you to like open a portal, but I could take it away. And I was like, well, why didn't you do that to begin with?
Yeah.
Why?
Like at the end, she's like, I could take it away. And Blink is like, get the fuck away from my brain. You've done enough damage. Which I was like, that's awesome. Honestly, fair. Like, I don't trust her. Because also, Blink just saw this other thing happen where she just gave Jace brain damage. And so Blink is like, I need to get away from this woman. Like, having the random every 10 minute sex dream is bad, but like, it could be a lot worse
for
like, me.
Dreamer's mutant powers to give people brain damage is literally her power.
And she also feels like a supervillain to me. I don't even know if that's her arc. I don't think it is. But already, I'm like, this character seems like a villain. Like, she's only caused harm.
I know, but she's her pussy's wet for John and he is not.
But so
wet
is Blink's
her.
Against her will. I did like some of these lines though, where Blink is like, now I have to live with the memory of loving someone I barely know, someone who doesn't love me. And I'm like, yeah, Blink. Like, she's like acknowledging how much this sucks. Like, I liked that she was actually capable. Like, they did give her the lines of being like, my life fucking sucks now.
Like, the Dreamer's like Xavier. She's like, well, do you want me to go back inside your head? And Blink's like, no!
Yeah, it's amazing, actually. I thought this was a good scene. I was really glad they finally had this scene.
Yeah,
no,
I think this and scene Dreamer. And then the final scene are actually the best parts of this episode. Because
Final one, which is like a horror movie scene?
All right.
Yeah.
Jace comes back to his wife. It's like the middle of the night. And she's like, where the fuck have you been? And he's like, oh, they needed to like make sure I was okay after everything happened, after they captured me. And she's like, are you good? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I'm here. I love you. I forget the name of the kid.
Grace.
Okay, Grace. He's like, anyway, I'm going to go in and say goodnight to Grace. She's still awake, right? And Charlotte's wife is like, what the fuck did they do to you? And he's like, what are you talking about? She's like, and his wife starts sobbing. He's like, are you fucking for real right now? You're scaring me.
Yeah, and she starts saying, Grace is gone. Grace is gone over and over again.
Yeah, and like he's like, oh, I don't know what you mean.
Eventually, she has to spell it out and be like, she died 4 years ago. And Jace is like crying, and then he's like, what did they do to me? What did they do to me?
This is the final scene of the ep.
Very sad.
Those final two scenes are the best scenes in the entire episode. You had to wait 40 minutes to get there.
Well, because, I don't know, like the plot is advancing finally. I guess that's part of it.
What's the next episode called? Do we have that?
The next one is called Got Your Six, with a capital X on the six.
I don't even know what that even means.
Thunderbird spearheads a mission to get answers about what happened to his friend. And Lauren encounters a new friend with useful powers. That actually sounds like it could be good.
Who?
Well,
I just scream, who's that character going to be?
Well, I don't know, but
it's not Esme, is it? No, they would have said that.
I don't know. But I mean, Thunderbird trying to find answers about Pulse is at least like continuing one of the plot lines that I'm not bored by. So I'm down for that.
Yeah, I just want this show to be over. Okay, yeah. Honestly, I will say I was thinking about the Cuckoos and I was like, because I keep saying I think the show gets more fun when they're around. So I went and looked up that scene where they first appear, and I won't describe it here because I don't want to spoil it for you, Maddie, but I rewatched that episode, and at the end of the episode they like are united again, and it's so fucking good that I was like, okay, I can't believe I have to like sit through like 9 agonizing episodes to fucking get there though. That's obnoxious.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. I'm also looking forward at like some of these other episode descriptions, and like Marcos's ex-girlfriend is going to come back again, Carmen. And like, I don't care about that.
San Diego.
Yeah, maybe if it was Carmen San Diego, that'd be more interesting. Oh, boy. I don't know.
As played by Maddie Myers.
Well, this is this episode. I guess I'll give it, I don't know. I didn't like it very much.
I'm going to give this episode a 1 because it doesn't really establish anything new other than the very end.
Yeah, I know we gave last week a 1, and I think this one is also like slightly better than last week in that it like made logical sense, but like I still want to give it a 1 because it's not statistically significant enough of an increase in quality to give it a 2.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, yeah. There is stuff that gets established, like the Sentinel Services are brainwashing mutants and using.
Yeah, but we already kind of got that last week or last time around.
And also, like, all Lorna and Reed are back with everybody.
Thank
and
God. Except, are they? Because Reed is like, I gotta get out of here. I don't know.
I genuinely don't know.
I also feel like because this show works the way that it does, all they can ever do is fight the cops. Like, that's all they ever do. So they have to keep leaving and keep protecting the mutant underground. Like, that's kind of the overarching plot every episode.
Right.
And it's just not as interesting as some of the classic X-Men episodes where they're a bit more well-matched against their foes.
Yeah.
And they're not completely overrun by Sentinel Services drones and vans every time they turn around. And it just feels like they're always having to run away from fights instead of actually fight them.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, you know what's sad is that that first episode I was like, maybe this show's not as bad as I remember, but it did the Wolverine the X-Men thing again.
Yep. It had a really strong pilot.
Yeah, and then after that I was like, what the hell am I watching? Like,
okay, you know, but even at the time when I was like, maybe this show's gonna be good, you were like, no, it's not. Like, even back then you were like, Maddie, I remember this too well.
You know what would help The Gifted if they did some more offshoot episodes where they went up to Canada and fought the Wendigo?
Yeah, maybe they should do a crossover with the Hulk. Why isn't the Hulk on this show? Where's the Avengers? Where's S.H.I.E.L.D.? Where's Nick Fury?
They can't even get She-Hulk back into the MCU because they're like, it was too much CG to do that. And I was like, you literally do the entire MCU in CG.
Yeah.
What does
and
that
they,
even
they're
mean?
Willing to do CG for every other character, but a woman?
Yeah, I know.
God, no.
Terrible.
God, no. Too much money. Too expensive. So yeah, I guess we're giving it a 1. I guess we can do who's
out of 5
gay.
X's.
The X-Men are a metaphor for a lot of things, but one of those things is being gay. But sometimes it goes beyond symbolic, and the X-Men can be homoerotic. But which X-Men is the gayest today?
No, is there anybody who's gay? Fade?
I mean, kind of still Reed and Fade, but that's really a stretch. Like, we told some jokes about it, but, like, it's not
this
really a part
isn't
of the
gay.
App.
Sorry.
It's really
queerness
not.
Queerness is not here in this very straight show. I mean, it's so straight that they have, like, a straight white family sitting there. And then, like, if a black person talks, we're like, we better shoot him, have him land on the floor.
And make sure he doesn't have any lines so the actor doesn't even get paid. Like,
they're like, well, let's put in this black little girl. Better throw a fireball lens flare at her. All
yeah,
right.
And like now Shatter, who's a black character, gets to be in this episode for 2 seconds to say like a line where he's like, we should just kill the white guy. Bye. Because you know how violent black characters are going to be on this show.
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
The politics in this are not great.
None of these are good roles. Like, none of these are good roles for the actors, and none of these are interesting plot lines to watch as a viewer.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know what the politics are of the show. Like, I don't even know what the takeaway is. Is it, we should feel sorry for this fucking prosecutor?
I don't even know what, like, what happened during the meet in March? What happened on 7/15? Nobody knows. We'll never know.
It would really help if we knew. It would actually really help, because then I would know what the show's about.
Honestly, this show needed to start with that scene.
Yes.
It needed to have a flashback and show the rally and show what happened, and then the aftermath of what... I mean, like, unless they were doing a whole lead up of like something crazy happened to all the mutants,
but
and we're
going
to eventually reveal what it is. This is the first time we're fucking even hearing about it. It's like this.
And also, we're just taking guesses. We don't even know if that's when all the mutants disappeared and the action.
We don't even know that.
Like, we're making that up because we're just trying to find a plot line here, but there's not anything on the show.
Two things had to be established at the beginning of this to make this show work. Either they needed to start with like, this is the event that happened and this is the fallout, or they need to be like, an event happened and we're going to slowly reveal over the course of the episodes that happened. It's not doing either of those things. I'm like, I don't know what the hell this show's about.
That actually reminds me of Wolverine and the X-Men, which did try to have that structure of slowly revealing an event, which was Jane destroying the mansion. Yeah. And that actually really worked as the premise in those first four episodes. And we were like, oh, this is interesting. It's a mystery.
Well, and then like the final three episodes or whatever, too.
Yeah. And I mean, I actually thought the reveals were kind of fun, but the problem was they didn't actually care about that mystery at all.
Yeah.
But it can work. Like, it can work when a show has that premise where like you have a cold open, you don't understand all what you're looking at first, and then later you figure it out.
Okay, do you know what show actually did that really well? The X-Men anime. It did that mystery thing. I think
you're right.
Oh my god, I can't. It's kind of crazy that I think that the X-Men anime might be the strongest.
It is.
Of all the shows we've watched. I mean, and I love X-Men the animated series and Evolution, you know, I stand by, but I think
well, the X-Men anime is its own standalone plot line. Everything follows together. The characters are all introduced pretty well. Like it works on its own. It doesn't need to be as many episodes as those other shows. So if you just want to get a sense of the X-Men, I kind of recommend the X-Men anime at this point, you know? Like, that's interesting.
I mean, there's definitely certain episodes of TAS and Evolution that stand out. Like, I still think the episode with Spike coming back is like the best introduction to any X-Men property ever.
I think those are both really good shows, and I still recommend them both. Absolutely.
I just think the X-Men anime, if you want like a plot that's The Gifted is trying to do, where it's like something happened.
Right.
It tells that mystery really well.
It does. And it even has the like the bad character on that is kind of like, I mean, it's Moira basically, but Dr. Sasaki has this trauma with her child. And like, it's a mystery and we don't know what's really going on with that. And then we find out later, like Jace's backstory is so much more boring in comparison to that, because we don't even know what happened really. Like, what was the protest?
Like, what is his deal? I don't fucking know. Anyway, this is the Mutant Ages, everybody. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Yeah, mutantages.com is our website. We are going to record a bonus episode and put it on the Patreon. I shouldn't skip ahead to the Patreon, but I just wanted to say that.
You got really excited that we're about to record something on Birds of Prey.
Yeah, because I'm excited about it. We have a lot of ways you can contact us. Our email address is themutantages@gmail.com. You should send us emails so that we can read them on future listener mails. We have a Discord server, which we read an excerpt from today. Definitely join it. It's over on the right-hand side of mutantages.com. You'll find a link to it right over there. We also have a voicemail inbox, which is 1-508-319-1668. Haven't gotten a voicemail in a while, but when we do, we play them on our listener mail episodes and respond to them. And we're all over social media, and I am on social media also. I'm at Mitty Myers, and Ryan is sometimes even on there too, at Ryan Pagella most of the time.
Yeah, I've been using a little bit more Ryan Pagella on Instagram for the most part. That's also my YouTube handle, and we also have a YouTube channel as well. And for anybody that is following me on Blue Sky, I just changed my handle to Roller Ryan because I'm just like, whatever. Blue Sky seems to be a place where like I don't necessarily want all our names attached to it. I don't know. Blue Sky is like a whole world of its own. Anyway, YouTube.
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel. There's a bunch of archives on there of us playing X-Men video games and like matching up clips from this show to clips from the various shows we've watched. And I recommend giving it a follow and a subscribe, whatever we want to call that shit these days. And finally, We have a Patreon, patreon.com/themutantages. We did a bonus ep with Todd about the Marvels, which we all have seen, and also is going to be on Disney Plus very, very soon. So definitely check out that bonus episode. And then we're going to talk about Birds of Prey. And
the TV show. Although we did cover the movie at one point on there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Actually, in the archives, we have a movie episode on
Birds of Prey. There's a huge archive of extra podcasts you can get by joining the Mutant Ages Patreon.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to keep up with that and keep doing bonus content in that place and other behind the scenes, bloopers, all kinds of crazy stuff. And our highest tier Patreon supporters get a shout out on the show.
Yep, that is Samuel B. and Soren B. Thank you for being our top tier Patreon supporters and for supporting the show. Thank you to everyone who's listening, keeping us in business, I guess.
Yeah.
Business.
Oh my God. Yup. We appreciate you. And if you can't afford to support the show, I'm just ignoring that. Please rate and review us on whatever podcast app you use, if it allows for that kind of thing. And share the show with your friends on your personal social media, please. That's how people find out about us. With that, we'll see you next time.
The Mutant Ages.